Chapter 137. Losing the Plot. I sincerely hope that a plot is not forming here. What could be worse than that? Could be less congenial to the roaming of a free spirit. As James Joyce reportedly said, one great part of every human existence is passed in a state which cannot be rendered sensible by the use of wide-awake language, cut-and-dry grammar, and go-ahead plot. An approach I wholeheartedly support and strive to adhere to, while also striving for the optimum use of available time in a quest for new material. And while waiting for something better to do, I visit the local library a little further down the high road. Just going up the steps hints at inspiration and dangles infinite possibility in the air. Even with this dull brick facade and din of the world getting on with its business, the woman at the front desk diligently takes my particulars for what they are worth, her voice warbling octaves fetchingly, betraying interest and surprise. "You have come a long way," she exclaims, and I presume she refers to my education and progress already made, set against the measure of my aspirations. "Yes," I nod and smile, briefly enjoying this reference, then soon awash with misgivings. Inside, the temple of words has an oldie-worldy post-war appeal, with the predominance of the colours brown and olive green, or is it khaki, and its varnished wooden shelves of worn and well-thumbed paperbacks and tomes with faded spines, the colour leached out by the fragile London light of day. As ever, pencil and notebook are at the ready, should some glimpse of inspiration be revealed, something that could lead the way to a song. But where does one begin? Should one start with Lovecraft or Lowry? At the mountains of madness or under the volcano? But suddenly there, overwhelmed by the stale glory of it all, I begin to wonder if song could really be enough, could be the correct thing to do. These snippets I cut and paste, these hidden hints of heartfelt or heavenliness. Is this really it, or should I be writing a novel? But the sheer weight of this thought brings it crashing back down, just as it has risen, crashing through the bare branches of trees, plummeting down and smashing to the ground in a miserable and hopeless tangle of wreck and ruin. "Is it this?" it says, staring back up at me. "Is it this that you want? One would need a plot, wouldn't one? And right now, a plot I do not have." Reaching out, I opt for the blue-green soft copy of Finnegan's Wake, a torrent of sonorous sound like the babbling of a brook, and which is summarized in the line, "They lived and laughed and loved and left." More concision than this, one will really find.